be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our worship services this morning, let us even now unite our hearts in mutual prayer and praise and thanksgiving unto the Heavenly Father. Dear holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we, your children who have gathered before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather around your holy, precious word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may be nourished by it, that our hearts would be comforted by it, and that our souls would be nourished and fed by and through your holy, precious word. We pray for a service blessing even now. Grant unto us words to hear, that you may deliver it unto us by and through the mouthpiece, your servants which you have placed in your kingdom. We acknowledge unto thee, Heavenly Father, that you are the giver of all good things. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the manifold blessings which you have blessed unto us on this journey of faith. But above all, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gift of faith which you have blessed into our hearts, that we can today believe upon thy dear Son, whom is our salvation. Our hearts are weak in expressing adequate thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, but it is our desire even now to worship thee and praise thee. We pray on behalf of loved ones who are not able to attend these services. Comfort them also in their watch of faith. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, on behalf of those that are far away, working or serving our country, that in those lonely outposts of life that you would yet preserve faith and a good conscience. We pray on behalf of our country that you would yet lead and guide, that we can yet continue in your kingdom to worship thee in freedom and in peace. Guide your flock. Lead them home. And we always wait upon thee, Heavenly Father, for thou art the giver of all good things. And as we have gathered before thee to partake of the table of thy dear Son in communion, we ask that you would impart unto us the message there and strengthen our faith, that we can always behold that faith as the greatest treasure which can be blessed unto sinful and mankind. And we desire to give thanks always, Heavenly Father, for all gifts that you have blessed unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. For our mutual study and worship this morning, I have chosen the words of the scriptures from which are written and recorded for us from the 29th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. And I desire to read unto you the 11th unto the 14th verses. And we read these words in Jesus' name. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and I will gather you from all the nations and all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. This portion of Scripture which we have heard read, though it is contained in the Old Testament, it is a portion of Scripture which is set aside for our study this Sunday according to the church calendar. Today is Rogation or Prayer Sunday, and the theme of these texts are the prayer of the heart, or the speech of the heart of the child of God unto the Heavenly Father. This particular portion of Scripture spoke unto me when I was reviewing the texts which are set aside, and it was one perhaps that has a comforting message. They are the words of the prophet Jeremiah, and there's a little bit of background contained in the first verse of this same chapter, and I will read them for you. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders which are carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. The flock of God's children, whom were in captivity in Jerusalem, or in Babylon, carried away from Jerusalem, now waited upon the Heavenly Father, for they were in captivity. Once attending a Bible camp a number of years ago, one of the presenters presented very preciously unto the listeners there and the students there how there has always been this cycle of this four-part cycle of the children of God, the loved and the elect of the Heavenly Father, how in one portion of that cycle they are preciously believing and worshiping and are obedient unto the commandments of the Heavenly Father. Then in the next phase or cycle of time, there begins this sleepiness, and they begin to fall away and to become disobedient. And in the low portion of that cycle, they are led into captivity and carried away, and God has had to awaken them that they may come into the knowledge that they need to correct their paths. And then they begin to seek the Heavenly Father in that fourth portion of that cycle, in prayer, and in sackcloth and ashes, so to speak, pray unto the Heavenly Father that they would be remembered in that low point of their life, in that condition of bondage. They wish to be remembered of the Heavenly Father. We remembered even yesterday how the brother preciously spoke of Jonah's travel to Nineveh, how God had already prepared the hearts of the Ninevites to receive that message, even though they were foreign, even though they had worldly ways about them. Yet God had prepared their hearts to receive that wondrous message of grace, of forgiveness. And when Jonah preached in that city that the city shall be destroyed in 40 days, they understood that message and with joy received it. But they needed to repair their ways. And in sackcloth and ashes, they bowed their hearts before the Heavenly Father, that He may impart unto them a wondrous and joyous message. Did they know it would surely come? Perhaps they wondered and prayed if God would be able to pardon them. But it was a wondrous revelation there when God remembered them and carried them out of that pit that they had fallen into. Even though they were not necessarily in bondage, in captivity, but they were in captivity of their soul's condition. Before them was a woeful path that led to destruction of the soul. Here in this letter, Jeremiah speaks unto those that were the subjects of Jerusalem who were led away into captivity. It is perhaps because of disobedience and sleepiness, unwatchfulness in faith, that they were led into this condition of captivity, that God, with His infinite love, may be able to affect in their hearts and into their lives that they need to correct their path and seek again for a merciful and gracious Heavenly Father. We are encouraged, all mankind are encouraged to seek for a gracious Heavenly Father while there is yet time, while there is this day of visitation that man is asked to, and in those various moments of his life, to consider the road which leads towards eternity, whether it is that it is on that path which leads towards everlasting life, or whether those paths lead towards everlasting condemnation. Often we have the opportunity to visit with those that are on the outside of God's kingdom, and they do not know a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. They might profess that there is a creator of all this earth and this universe, but they have not found a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Perhaps they see the countenance of the Heavenly Father as very imposing, but that comes from their own perdition, their own heart and conscience that is wounded and without peace, without joy. We have this opportunity, do we not, dear brother and sister, to speak of this wondrous grace and this treasure which is in our hearts. We have this opportunity to speak of the light which is found in God's kingdom, the treasure which is in our hearts, the treasure which is in the fold. Is not that treasure our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But we say it is. We have found such a treasure. It is our joy. It is our peace. It is our salvation. And we do that which is in our power to hold fast to that which is our joy. We do that which is in our power to attain that. We know that for us waits a better homeland there in heaven. Here in our text, it speaks to us about captivity. Captivity, as we know it, is not a joyous matter to be bound or subject unto powers that would come over us. Here, the children of God were in captivity unto the Babylonians, those of Babylon, and had to serve under them. But God allowed them to have freedom to to worship the Heavenly Father. I had this thought this morning that if we had to choose between freedom of conscience and freedom of heart and soul, or freedom of the body to, or should I say the bondage of the heart and the soul, where we are bound to sin. If we had to choose between that and that and bondage unto servitude of a foreign government, I think we would rather that we would have freedom of heart and soul. That we would be able to worship the Heavenly Father even though we are cumbered about with a laborious life, a life of servitude. But if we have the freedom to worship the Heavenly Father and to know that our path is secured to heaven, then we have joy in our heart, do we not, dear brother and sister? And this life has many, many paths and many surprises, and we do not know the nature of what tomorrow brings for us, whether it be one that would belong to trial and something that is uncomfortable to endure, or whether it is going to be a very joyous day. But for the child of God, we have much joy in our heart when we know that our sins are forgiven before the Heavenly Father, when we know that we have for us the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is a gospel that preaches unto us that sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Then we have eternal joy and salvation. We have that greatest treasure which man can own. Though we might be poor in earthly treasures, but if we have that treasure in our heart that sins are forgiven and that there is hope of reaching heaven's shore, we have the greatest of treasure. We are the richest of all mankind. And that is that treasure which is spoken of here in the letter which Jeremiah delivers unto the children of God there, when he says in this way, "For I know the thoughts that I speak, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a desired end, one that is promised to those that are obedient." We have a gracious Heavenly Father. We have beheld the countenance thereof by and through faith, and we have seen that the Lord is great in mercy, great with grace. We have a gracious Heavenly Father, and has forgiven unto us the sin debt when we have fallen into those low places of life, when we realize that that sin that which has fallen upon us brings us so low into those pits that we know the enemy of soul has a firm grip there. We have experienced the power of the enemy of soul when he has caused sadness and sin to overcome us. But have we also not experienced a greater power than this? And that is the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. When we have in that low point of our life been able to receive the strength to reach out, though weakly, to a brother or sister that I have fallen, and I have need to hear that gospel of the forgiveness of sins, that how the brother or sister there has so lovingly preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins unto us, and we have experienced the love of the Heavenly Father. It is a joyous message unto the child of God, one who dwells in God's kingdom. We have experienced the loving gaze of the Heavenly Father, even though it is And it is explained to us that who can endure the countenance of the Heavenly Father? And even Saul, when he was on the journey, I believe, towards Damascus, and he was stricken blind there. And it was asked of him, "Isn't it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" And Saul, in that low place of life, when he was blinded and with that bright light, then had to wait upon the message which would be delivered unto him. He was instructed to go into the city there, and it shall be instructed of him what to do. And a brother, a believer, approached Saul and was able to reveal unto him the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has much grace and much mercy. And was able to, and then when that gospel was preached unto him, the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to again see with an awakened conscience and a one that a condition of heart that is guided by the Holy Spirit. He was then moved to make a 180 degree change in his life. That the Heavenly Father whom he battled against, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ whom he battled against, now he desired to serve. For he realized this, that grace and mercy was abundant there. When one is traveling in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and is obedient unto the teachings of the Holy Spirit, one can experience great grace and mercy. Jeremiah continues by saying, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." The prayers of the heart of the child of God are heard before the Heavenly Father. This subject of prayer is one that touches the heart of the children of God. We have this ability to pray unto the Heavenly Father. We have such a Heavenly Father that is so near us that He hears our prayers. The prayers of the smallest children He hears. There's not a prayer that is uttered from the heart of a child of God that He does not hear. We heard yesterday how the ears of the false gods and idols are dull and unhearing. He is not near those ones that have created a faith with their hands and an idols with their hands. These false gods do not exist, are unable to hear and unable to help. Though they were pleading, and though they were made cuts and lacerations upon their body that they may appeal unto their God, yet He was not able to help or even hear. But today we have an Heavenly Father that hears our prayers. And we can rest assured that He will help us even today when we pray unto the Heavenly Father that He help us in current trials and tribulations. It is comforting for the child of God to know this, that we have a kingdom of God which is an alive kingdom. The kingdom of God which Peter describes as living stones are living stones because they are founded upon a foundation which is a sure foundation. The elect and cornerstone of that foundation is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is life and safety in such a building. There is much love in that building which flows throughout the structure to all of the members. Often the body of Christ has been compared to, or the congregation of God has been compared to as the body of Christ, with blood that freely flows to all of its members, the furthest extremities. The blood of that, of the body of Christ nourishes the farthest members, and we must allow and consider it to be so, that the gospel of the forgiveness of sins is remaining unto us. That we would deaden the powers of sin. That it would always continue to be free flowing. That it would nourish all of the members within that body and within that fold. It is our prayer that the Heavenly Father would always allow it to be so. For it is Jesus presents unto us that natural example that if the hand were severed, how can it exist? Or if that branch were severed from the vine, it cannot exist in life anymore. But we pray unto the Heavenly Father that He would preserve that body as a pure body and allow the gospel to flow from one member to another. This is that order of grace today that is spoken unto us in the Scriptures that is a mystery unto mankind. That how can sinful man preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sin unto sinful man? But from the beginning it was so. And it is ordained of God that it is preached not by sinful man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to refresh one another. And as the Scriptures say, that which is forgiven here on earth is also forgiven there in heaven. It must needs be forgiven here upon this earth and then there in heaven. God has sees into our heart that when we are open books before one another, He freely forgives. And we are asked to freely forgive with love, with brotherly love. Though it is not natural for our flesh to forgive mankind their sins and trespasses. Often the sin is of such a nature that we have been offended by wrongful and harmful thoughts or deeds or words. Man has this nature to hold a grudge. But with the child of God who is instructed by the Holy Spirit, there is that change of heart that we freely forgive. We have this ability to freely forgive. Not because we have earned or merited it, but rather because the love of God dwells in the heart of a child of God. We have a gracious Heavenly Father who has forgiven our manifold sin debt. And thus we know we can freely forgive those small debts which are between brothers and sisters. This nature of sin is such that we know that we can also forgive that sin which offends the Holy Spirit, as well as those sins that offend us. And sin is of this nature that when a brother or sister has fallen into wrongful deeds, it would offend the Holy Spirit as well as the... It would offend the Holy Spirit, even though they have not necessarily stepped on our toes, so to speak, but rather the Holy Spirit is of such a nature that we want to help one another attain that homeland shore in heaven. The Holy Spirit is instant in season and out of season, as we have already heard this weekend. And may it be so that we can extend that love one to another. It is by and through brotherly love. And when we go to correct a brother or sister in God's kingdom, it is of such a way that we even approach humbly and slowly, not with on upon a pedestal and high-mindedness, but rather we go willing and ready to preach that gospel of that saving grace, which we know is that power which is able to heal and to mend the conscience and to reveal the wrongful ways. We go with brotherly love to preach that gospel, and not with a high place of a mighty place that we would only reveal that matter, but rather we go with brotherly love. And that we can correct a brother or sister in error. We also have been needed to be corrected, have we not, dear brother and sister? And those loving brothers and escorts have had to go out of their way to take those often painful steps to speak unto us of that matter which they see in us, that we might need to, that we could be corrected in that. And we are very thankful of that, that that brother or sister has taken that time to correct us. We have needed to be corrected, have we not, dear brother and sister, often as we make journey. I remember in a very precious camp there in the winter services in Phoenix a number of years ago, when that presenter called into the audience for his friends. He called them up to the front. He placed his arm around them. And he said, "These are my friends." And he revealed why. He said, "They helped me in faith. They corrected me when I was in error and in sin. They rebuked me." Often this rebuke is not easy for the flesh to accept and receive. But it is that step of love. And we are thankful that today we have such loving escorts and friends who, of the Holy Spirit, take this initiative to correct us and to instruct us, that we may remain on that path, that they can help us from this place of bondage and in the way that leads unto perdition. They are the loving escorts. And we praise and thank the Heavenly Father that He has placed them in our midst, that we can be corrected and remain whole as we make journey towards our heavenly destination. The next verse reads in this way, "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart. We cannot be divided in this matter, can we, dear brother and sister? We can serve only one Master, as the Scriptures reveal and instruct unto us. For we will either hold the one, or how does that Scripture say? I often weakly paraphrase this, but we know that we can serve only one Master. We can only have love for one Master. And it is our desire, is it not, dear brother and sister, to serve our gracious Heavenly Father. We have seen a Heavenly Father who has been so loving and gracious to us. He still calls us His children, who still gathers us close in His arms, into His fold, where there is rest and security and peace and hope. We have before us a bright future, do we not, dear brother and sister? We do. And our last verse of our text reads in this way, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." The children of God, who were there in captivity in Egypt, who wandered in the wilderness, yearned for a home, yearned for a place of rest. Perhaps it was ever present in their heart and in their minds when they were in captivity that God would lead them after a period of time to that homeland back in Jerusalem, in that Jerusalem area. And it is even told unto us that after a period of 70 years, these children of God who were in Babylon would be again gathered to Jerusalem, a place they desired to dwell, where they had peace and security, a place they desired, even though 70 years seemed like a lifetime. But so be it, dear brother and sister, that if we need to wait a lifetime, is it not worthwhile, dear brother and sister? But we say, yea, it is a worthwhile endeavor. We long and we yearn for that homeland which is promised there for us in heaven. With new heart and voice, we can make perfect praise there. No more shall the torment of this life make the journey slow. No more will the tears fall from our eyes that have caused us grief. But we long for a blessed end. And it is waiting for the child of God there in heaven. But dear child of God, remain even now firmly believing, sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I with desire to preach that gospel unto you, even this morning hour, believe all sins and journey faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Believe unto peace, believe unto joy, and unto righteousness, for sins are forgiven unto you in Jesus' name and precious blood. This gospel of the peace, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, brings immeasurable joy to the heart of a child of God. We have renewed strength to continue the endeavor of faith. And even today as we gather before the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to partake of the elements there which Jesus has instructed to us to partake thereof, it is unto the strengthening of our undying faith. We can receive of it in communion, knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is present there by and through simply believing in obedience. We are renewed in strength, renewed in the endeavor, and renewed with new joy and hope in our hearts. And the Heavenly Father knew, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knew that we would need to continue with this partaking of communion. Perhaps we have visited with brothers and sisters who have not partaken of communion for a long time. We see in them the hunger and the need to partake of this communion, to testify even unto us that there is a strengthening power there. The Word of God, which we shall soon hear through the rites of the communion, instructs us to remain in the place of watching, though we are in that place of a humble, childlike place, and that is the place of the child of God. That we must remain humble, and so we can continue to follow after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is not a one in God's kingdom that is above or a head taller than one another. For we are a level-headed flock. We cannot take this position that though I have served many days in my life in continual faith and have been obedient unto the work and instruction which has been given unto me, but nevertheless we abide by grace. And that is our salvation, that grace which is for us by and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Works will, in the pride of life, will elude us and lead us astray. I remember of the precious testimony of an elder brother traveling in faith when he was asked of how many years have you been believing or journeying in faith, and he had to say that it is from even the recent receiving of the gospel. And I don't remember the frame of time, perhaps even that day that he received the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. It is from that moment. And we travel that way, do we not, dear brother and sister? By grace, we have found those wells that have spoken unto us. That when Jesus revealed unto that woman that came to that well, I believe is referred to as Jacob's well in Samaria there, that if you were to have known of that well, that I would can give and give of you to drink, you shall seek no more for another well. We have found those wells which spoken unto our hearts, and we can continue to dip of that well, so to speak, and have no need to find another that has spoken unto us immeasurable grace and mercy, brought us comfort and joy. We have seen the reassurance of the Heavenly Father that He has placed in our midst the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. That once we have realized the joy thereof, it satisfies the heart and the conscience. We are no longer wandering to and fro, trying to find the grace of the Heavenly Father. And this message is also for those that are yet wandering in darkness, to those that perhaps have gathered here to these services that may not yet be a partaker of this gospel, have not experienced the gracious hand of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father has guided you to this place, here found upon this earth, where is the sprinkling of the forgiveness of sins, in which the Heavenly Father desires to sprinkle unto you, to speak unto you of His marvelous message. Knock and ye shall find, or knock and it shall be opened unto you, and seek and ye shall find, as we learn in our scriptures here, in our passage here that we have read. And to all mankind who seeks with a heart that is longing for peace and salvation, that is longing to receive and to see the gracious eye of the Heavenly Father, to those ones that seek, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And we are thankful of this, are we not, dear brother and sister, that He has reached out unto us, that He has found us worthy and acceptable, we do not find ourselves necessarily worthy, do we, dear brother and sister? But rather we find we are so needful of that continual washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit that we can continue in that baptismal covenant, also a sacrament given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of which the Heavenly Father promises to carry us and to keep us as His own. And we've had to continue to wash and make new promises to continue the endeavor of faith. The Heavenly Father has not broken His promise, but we find we have this opportunity to make amends and continue in that covenant. And the Heavenly Father has provided for us a garment which is acceptable unto that final wedding of which we long to partake thereof. And as you, dear brother and sister, come here this morning to partake of communion, you can be uplifted to believe again, all sins and journey faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Communion belongs unto the believer, and we can partake of it for the strengthening of our undying faith and strengthening of our heart and of our soul as well. I too find myself needful and ask of you, dear brother and sister, that can you also again preach that gospel unto me? It is my promise and desire to believe with you. It is easy to sing praises unto the Heavenly Father when we are refreshed in this way. We with new tongues can sing praises unto the Heavenly Father in refreshed strength. We can make those praises known unto the Heavenly Father, He who is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen. Let us conclude this portion of our service by uniting in benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.